Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, does your child or maybe your grandchild have a school garden to go to? I hope they do. Anyway, many people do. Many youngsters do. And we'll find out what the benefits of garden-based education are with our guest today as we talk with Renata Solin, who is the Communications Director for the Wisconsin School Garden Network. Renata, welcome. And thank you for coming. Jenica Skaug is, and Jenica, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by. She's the manager of the Goodman Youth Farm, which is run by Community Groundworks. So what did gardening teach you as a child, maybe? Or what questions do you have about school gardens? I hope you'll join in. I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And let's talk about your organization first. Renata, maybe you can talk about the Wisconsin School Garden Network.
Sure. So the Wisconsin School Garden Network is housed within Community Groundworks, which is a community-based nonprofit primarily located on the north side, and the UW-Madison Environmental Design Lab. And we're a network of school garden programs across the state. When we say school garden, we mean any youth educational garden. So that can be a garden at a school. It can be at an early care and education site, a nonprofit, an organization like the Madison Children's Museum, for example. Any place that that kids are getting access to garden-based education.
I was thinking the Madison one is actually on the roof, is it not?
Yeah, they have a rooftop garden. It's beautiful.
So any kind of garden in that, as long as it relates to some of those areas, nonprofit areas that you were talking about.
That's right. And our role is to provide free resources to help support these garden programs. So we have a website that has a searchable resource library for educators or parents or whoever is interested to find resources from all subjects, really, from starting a garden to creating a garden committee, finding curricular resources, even resources that relate to next generation science standards. So we try to have any kind of resource that an educator might be looking for. And we also provide free workshops, and we list possible funding resources, because funding is always an issue for garden-based education.
And speaking of funding, where does your funding come from then?
Our funding comes from the Wisconsin Partnership Program of the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.
Well, that is pretty cool, and it's really great to hear about all the broad range of resources that are available to anybody interested. Maybe they already have one going, or maybe they're interested in getting a garden going for their school, perhaps. That's great. Well, Jenica, maybe you can talk about the Goodman Youth Farm. What are some of the things going on there? Or what's it all about?
Absolutely. The Goodman Youth Farm is another program run or housed within Community Groundworks. We're located on the far east side of Madison, close to Kennedy Elementary School. And our program focuses on getting kids out into the garden. Sometimes I use garden and farm interchangeably. We have about half an acre of garden space. We focus primarily on field trips and community group visits for students. We start in April and we go all the way through October. So teachers can sign up to bring their class out for a 1 or 2 hour visit to the farm. We try to keep all of our activities hands-on for the students, much like a school garden, but a little bit larger in size. We grow over 50 different kinds of fruits and vegetables on the farm, and we get the kids involved with planting, harvesting. We have an outdoor kitchen where we have them use our produce to cook recipes and eat them right in the garden. We have honeybees on site that we use for our programs as well. So again, a lot of activities very similar to what they might do at school gardens, but on a larger scale. I work with a lot of teachers, and they often comment that they go back to their school and use some of what they've learned on the farm in their own garden back at school.
That's pretty cool. And you have an internship program, do you not?
We do. We have every year a number of seasonal interns and volunteers that help us to run the field trip programs, work with the students, again, all season long. It's kind of a secondary goal, but to train more garden educators that way to go out and work with schools or other organizations in garden-based education roles.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you know, you both mentioned Community Groundworks. You're both work through Community Groundworks, correct?
Well, that's right.
So talk a bit more about Community Groundworks itself.
Sure.
Let's turn to you, Jenica.
Sure. So Community Groundworks, like Renata said, is a nonprofit organization. It is an organization that wears a lot of different hats. It started off with a different name called the Friends of Troy Gardens, and it was formed when a group of neighbors and other organizations in Madison got together to save a parcel of land on the north side on Troy Drive from development because neighbors had been gardening there for a number of years. That Friends group transformed into the organization that is now Community Groundworks. On that site, there is still existing community gardens. Within that space, there was also formed the Troy Kids Garden, which is kind of the sister program of the Goodman Youth Farm, educating youth throughout Madison at that garden. We also, on the north side, have a 5-acre farm that serves families from throughout Madison by delivering market vegetables on a weekly basis. We have expanded to statewide programs through the Wisconsin School Garden Network and Farm to Early Care and Education support work. And we work with a number of schools in Madison as well with Gardener in Residence programs. So that's a trained staff member to work with the school in support of their school garden on site.
That is very cool. And here we go. And I think it's exactly 1 week from now. May 23rd is School Garden Day in Wisconsin. Why is it important to have a day set aside for school gardens? And Renata, do you want to take that?
Sure. School gardens are a lot of work. And Wisconsin School Garden Day is really an opportunity for us to honor and recognize all of the people who are making Wisconsin a leader in garden-based education across the country, and to recognize the programs that are giving kids these hands-on educational opportunities. There's a growing body of evidence that shows that hands-on learning improves learning outcomes, improves critical thinking and problem-solving skills in kids, and garden-based education is becoming a very important part of that.
I like the part about where you get the kids outside.
Yeah, that's a great part of it too. It's, you know, our funding is through the School of Medicine and Public Health. So there's obviously a health component to garden-based education, physical activity, sunshine, but also nutrition. When kids have a connection to the food that they're growing, they're likely to try these fruits and vegetables that are coming out of the garden and feel excitement and ownership about it. I know that this is something that Jenica sees regularly in her work.
Yeah, it actually brings to mind a story I had from a couple summers ago. In the summer, we have a group of middle schoolers that visits the farm they come from the Goodman Community Center. And they visit the farm three days a week. And I started asking them some questions a couple years ago about what the farm has meant to them. Some of them attend multiple years in a row. And I had one student say to me, you know, I used to be the kind of kid that never really liked to go outside. He said, even sometimes my mom would try to take me hiking and I wasn't really into it. He said, but since I started coming to the farm, I've really gotten into the outdoors and being outside, he said, because being in the garden, you know, it's something that we can do. It's we're doing work, but we get to, you know, see the results. And I thought that was really meaningful because I could see that that student was really interacting with the things that are available in the garden in a way that was really positive for him and had changed his life, it sounded like.
That is very cool. Well, as you listen to Renata and Jenica talk about the school gardens, what about you? Do you have children or grandchildren who have a garden at their school? What's it taught them? What about you? When did you garden as a child? How did it affect your life? We can talk about that, too, as we move along today. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Our guest today, Renata Solin, Communications Director for the Wisconsin School Garden Network. Jenica Skaug is the manager of the Goodman Youth Farm, run by Community Groundworks. Larry Mueller here. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Renata Solin, Communications Director for the Wisconsin School Garden Network, and Jenica Skaug, who is the manager of the Goodman Youth Farm, run by Community Groundworks. They are located in Madison. You may be located somewhere else and have a question or comment about community gardens or maybe an experience to share. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. How many school gardens are there in Wisconsin? Do you know offhand? Renata, do you know?
Yeah, so the Wisconsin School Garden Network actually has an interactive map of garden-based education programs around the state. And that map is growing at a rapid rate. We know that about a year ago, we had 384 schools on that map. And
wow.
Today, there are 584 schools on that map. And we know that there are more out there. So if you have a garden-based education program at your school or community center or any other site, you can go to wischoolgardens.org and click on our map, and you can fill out a quick form. It takes about 1 minute, and you can add yourself. And the great thing about that is that educators can find each other because educators are really a wonderful resource for each other, too, since those are the people who are out in the garden with their students solving the same problems as maybe another garden down the block.
and you know, and so it's wischoolgardens.org, right?
That's right.
wischoolgardens.org. And, of course, our educators are probably all educating right at the moment. So we probably won't get many. Maybe there's some volunteers who work in the gardens who could call in, too, at 800-642-1234 and make a comment about that. By the way, are you going to celebrate on May 23rd? Are there some events planned for that? Jenica, do you know of anything?
Well, at the Youth Farm, we will be having a visit, a field trip from a fourth grade class, actually from our neighboring school, Kennedy Elementary. And so they'll be out in the garden doing some of our spring field trip activities. They will be, as long as it's not too wet out, planting out in the garden. They'll be harvesting. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to harvest yet, but we have a nice radish crop coming up. They might make some radish mango salsa. It's a favorite spring recipe of ours. And we'll have them out doing some other garden-based activities, perhaps composting, things like that. And I also asked their teachers to do a little writing activity with the kids before they visit, asking them about why is it important to them that kids have access to garden space as part of school. And I'm really excited to hear their responses.
Yeah, that should be great. All right. Radish mango salsa. That sounds so good.
You know, I often get questions.
How do you make that?
We have a special tool. It's called a bike blender, and it's a blender attached to a bike. It has no electricity. So we have the kids go out onto the farm, each harvest a radish, wash it off, bring it back into our kitchen, chop it up, and add it to the blender. I believe the other ingredients are herbs, onions, ginger, rice.
There's got to be mango in there.
There's mango. Yeah, we don't grow that on the farm. We do buy the mango. and then they pedal the bike and blend it all up and eat it up. I actually have a great kid quote about radishes from a couple of years ago. We wrote this down because I thought it was so telling. A student said, "This is too good to even exist," while eating a radish, which is not the thought I would have had as a second grader eating a radish. But I think that being out in the garden gives kids a chance to try something new and in a new context that allows them to maybe experience it in a different way. And our hope is always that they will take that experience forward with them into the rest of their life, which we don't get to see often as a school or school-based program, but we hope that it makes a difference in that way.
Well, I can remember having someone on the show talking about his carrots that he and his kids grew, and he said the biggest compliment he got was when his son told him that there were other kids at school who were trying to trade their snack for his carrots, because the carrots were so darn good. that always warmed my heart a little bit to hear something like that. And that's a benefit certainly of a garden-based education. And you wonder, you were talking about, you don't know how this goes on, you know, how after they're gone, and you don't have a chance for follow-up, but wouldn't it be nice to know if these benefits last? You kind of hope they do. What do you think?
You hope they do. I know not every student has access at home to space to garden, but my hope is that as they grow into teenagers and adults, that they will maybe remember the experience they had as a young student at school, and if they end up with space, maybe in a community garden someday, or the opportunity to grow their own food, that they won't feel so intimidated, that they will have done that already, and that they will have had a positive experience with being outdoors. I think that's really a big part of our role as educators, is just getting kids out there. And if their experience is to find a worm in the garden while we're planting and hold it for the first time, that's great. If their experience is to take one bite of a radish and decide that they like it or they tried something new, that's great. We really want the kids to engage in whatever level is challenging but also positive for them.
Well, we'll take some calls. Renata, before we go to Kit and Merrimack, did you have something to add there?
Oh, I was going to say that I think what Jenica said is really important, because it speaks to the reality that a youth garden does not have to be as large as the Goodman Youth Farm or even as well managed as the Goodman Youth Farm. As Jenica said, a kid can dig in the dirt and find a worm, and that can be a really valuable experience. And so we really try to support programs that certainly programs that have large gardens with raised beds, but also a couple potted plants or a small flower patch. Kids can also gain similar
learn a
benefits
lot from that. Absolutely. Well, by the way, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or experiences. Let's go to Kit in Merrimack now. Hi, Kit. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I was excited to hear about your topic today, and I thought maybe I could share a little bit of the experience that we've had here in Merrimack.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the school that I help at is a Merrimack Community Charter School, and they have an emphasis of agriculture and community involvement. So it's a public charter school. So anyway, when they started this thinking about the whole business of charter, they decided to have a big garden. And I said to them, I was just a teacher who was just about to retire, and they said, "Oh, sure, you can take care of it." I've gardened for many years, but that was not what I really wanted to do. But I was also interested in taking the Master Gardener program, and so I did that, and in the process found seven other Master Gardeners in our area, and together we helped to get the garden through the summer, which is always a problem for school gardens to have because so much of the work, so much of the product happens during the summertime. You can start it in April or, you know, even seedlings earlier, but the big work and the big excitement really is through the summer, and then we, of course, have harvesting in the fall. But anyway, so we've had that garden for, I think, 11 years, and the art teacher got involved very early on and had the kids all got involved in making a folk art fence, and so it's a gorgeous thing, and it has become sort of a thing for people who visit Merrimack to come and visit the garden. We have 13 raised beds that are about 4 by 10. And after we got all those beds put in, we realized four feet is a little bit too wide, but it works. So until we have to replace them, they'll be a little narrower. But I think what I wanted to share were some of the unique things that we've discovered are really helpful. And one of them is we have heavy-duty parent involvement in working in the garden, along with volunteers who act as guides, not to show you through the garden, but to teach a little bit more about the opportunities that we have in the garden. So I found 12 people who are willing to be garden guides. Now, the Merrimack School has approximately 130 children, so we got a lot of people involved, and so our 12 people actually organize things during the weeks. They partner up, and they take 2 weeks at a time and work through the summer. They, however, are not responsible for all the work. All the families tell me when they're available to help, and then I set up a schedule. So we have that through the summer. That really creates an opportunity, first of all, for people to learn more about gardening from our garden guides, but then also to get a lot of the work done. So it's a pretty substantial garden.
Well, you've done a great job, Kit, of, I think, as I'm looking at my guests today, Renata and Jenica, that you're doing it right. Are they not, Renata?
Yeah, Kit brought up a few really important points. One is that summer is a perennial issue for garden programs in Wisconsin, especially because our growing season before and after summer is pretty short. And so the months that kids are in school and things are growing is quite limited. And Kit brought up a number of ways that that community members can be involved in school and other youth gardens in their area. Master Gardener volunteers are a really important resource for garden-based education. They are experts who can really help establish and sustain and maintain the gardens, and also involving families is great. That's a method that a number of schools across the state have turned to, assigning families or having families sign up for different weeks.
I like that a lot. And, you know, there are many schools in this day and age that have early learning centers associated with them, and those early learning centers are often open right through the summer because parents are working through the summer, too. So
that's right. And a lot of community centers and nonprofits also are able to run their gardens straight through the summer.
And Kit, that sounded like a great fence that you've got there from your art teacher. You're going to have to take you probably already have photos of it. I would love to have you send me a photo to our Ideas Network Facebook page Ideas Network / Larry, WPR.org/Larry. Go to that and send us a photo because I'd love to see how that fence looks. That looks pretty cool.
And Kit, if the garden has an activity going on next week in celebration of Wisconsin School Garden Day, let us know about it. You can find us on Facebook, or you can post about Wisconsin School Garden Day to social media using the hashtag WI School Garden Day. Let us know what's going on at that garden that day.
Sounds like you're doing great work. Thank you so much for calling, Kit. Appreciate it very much. Paula in Madison will give you a chance. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Can
you hear me? Out?
Yeah, we can hear you great. What's on your mind?
On Tuesday, I was a chaperone for the whole school first graders, and we came out to the farm, and it was wonderful. We had such a good time, and I've been gardening for years, and I even learned a few things, so it was a great experience.
Well, thanks, Paula. And Jenica, do you want to talk more about that? Because Paula's talking about your farm area there.
Sure, Paula. I think I remember seeing you on Tuesday. Nice to hear your voice again. We love Lowell Elementary. We have a few first grade teachers that have been bringing their classes out for field trips for a number of years. And in fact, this year we were able to work with some of the first graders at Lowell even earlier in the year. I started in early April attending one of the classrooms to help the kids start some seedlings in their classroom as part of science class. So we were just talking about the limited season for gardening that fits within the school year. So we planted seeds with kids in their classroom. They grew those seeds under lights for about 6 weeks, and then they came to the farm on a field trip to plant those out in the garden. And I know other schools do that as well. You don't have to have a greenhouse. You can do it right in your classroom under just regular fluorescent lights. You don't have to have anything fancy. It can be pretty low cost. And I think the other thing I was thinking, a lot of schools have gotten creative with using their garden space in the early spring. And I think we did some of this on the Lowell field trip as well. I know we did get the kids out harvesting early in the spring. There are things in the garden that are ready to eat even as early as April with a little bit of planning. We use a lot of perennial plants, like rhubarb comes up early in the spring.
Sure.
We're making rhubarb jam with the kids. We use Jerusalem artichokes, a perennial tuber, to cook with the kids. And I know a lot of schools do that as well. So Paula, I'm so excited that you and your granddaughter had a great visit to the farm. And we also do rely a lot on parent volunteers to attend the field trips and help as chaperones with our student groups. And we are always so happy when people go back to their schools and their homes learning something new.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got 20 fourth graders around, you can't have just one teacher and 20 fourth graders.
Yeah.
So it does. I'm sure it does take a lot of volunteers.
It does. And I think it's easier for kids to engage in the garden space in a hands-on way when you have those extra volunteers and parents, so you can have smaller groups and more of the individual attention. So if kids notice something they're interested in, that you can pursue that interest as you're gardening.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. You can join in with your own comment, question, or experience at 1-800-642-1234. You've talked a bit about plants, but let's say you're thinking about starting one of these gardens. What are the plants basically that are probably best to start with? And as our earlier caller was talking about the size of their garden, I was thinking to myself, you're probably better off starting smaller than bigger in a situation like this.
I think that's absolutely right. I think the number one advice given out from the Wisconsin School Garden Network to educators is just to start small. Like Renata said, you don't have to have a big area. Even, you know, a window box size is a good starting point. In terms of what plants to choose, it depends a little bit on what are the goals of your garden. Some gardens really want to use produce in just for tasting with students, or maybe some cooking activities with students. Some people want to make salsa in the fall with their kids and want to plant tomatoes and basil and things that you would put in salsa. Some people want lots of kids to be able to visit the garden and pick something to have that experience. That's kind of where I come from at the Goodman Youth Farm. We have over 4,000 student visits every year, and I really like to focus. We try to plant a variety so kids can see different things growing. But every year I focus more and more on what we call cut and come again plants. I know that term is usually used for flowers, but things like kale and collard greens and cucumbers and cherry tomatoes, where we can have lots of kids. Everybody can pick something and that plant will continue growing so more kids can come back to pick again next week.
Yeah, cherry tomatoes immediately came to mind when you were when you were talking. Oh, there's something that works for sure. Well, Renata, you wanted to add to that.
Yeah. Excuse me. I just wanted to add that herbs can also be a really great option, especially for programs that are maybe still trying to figure out where their outdoor space will be. Herbs can be grown in the classroom even. I know there's an early care and education center up in Woodruff called Terry's Treehouse, and they have a really lovely herb garden that that they keep inside all winter long, and the kids still have access to it all winter, and then they're able to move it outside in the summer. And it's great to be able to smell and taste.
Oh, yeah. And in the winter, to have that the smell of those herbs, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Mark in Middleton, let's give you a chance. Hi, Mark. Well, I guess we lost Mark. Regan in Madison, your turn. Hi, Regan.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to make a comment, and I just want people to know about this if they don't already, but I work in childhood lead poisoning prevention, and there are areas where the soil is contaminated by lead, and if you plant in those areas, they can, the vegetables and the herbs can take up the lead out of the soil. And so I just want people to be sure that if they're testing for nutrients, if they suspect that it might also have be near a building where there was old paint or whatever, that they test for lead.
Now, that's not a bad idea, and it brings up this soil testing isn't a bad idea either, if there's any question at all, Jenica.
I think definitely soil testing is best practice to do in any garden area. And I know, I forget the exact address where you send it in, but if you go online and search for
Soil and Plant Analysis Laboratory.
I should have known. You would know. but we try to do it on an annual basis at the youth farm, and would encourage other schools to do it as well.
A few bucks.
Yeah. Lead has never been an issue for us, but I know it can be for other schools.
So there you go. And Regan, thank you again. Well, the I guess if you think about tomatoes, they're still going in the fall when the kids come back to school, too.
Yeah.
As one crop, at least.
That's right. Yeah. There's a number of crops that especially in northern Wisconsin are going when kids come back to school, and really throughout the state. And so while maintaining the garden throughout the summer can be an issue for schools, much of what they harvest actually often is ripe when the kids come back to school.
Yeah, it makes good sense. Well, what advice do you have for a teacher, or let's say somebody who might be interested in starting a garden of this nature? Maybe they want to establish a garden, but maybe the administration says, oh, I don't know about that. What advice do you have for those folks?
I think an important first step is to establish a garden committee. No individual can start a garden on their own, especially in the context of a school or in any institution where there are a lot of different stakeholders. And on our website, we have a number of resources that can help you figure out who should be on your guarding committee, and also what other steps you should take to build support for a garden within your community. We also have resources about the benefits of garden-based education, the educational benefits, the academic benefits, the health benefits, and those can all be very compelling to administration.
Well, you know, Jenica, you had something like, what did you say, 4,000 groups out there? So you probably don't have a lot of time to go out and speak, but as part of your organization, are there people who will take the time to maybe visit a community and talk with them?
Yeah, the Wisconsin School Garden Network does do free workshops at schools. And we also provide provide technical assistance for programs. So if you're thinking of starting a school garden and you're not really sure where to get started, or you have questions about how to approach the administration at your school or some other stakeholder, you can always send us an email or give us a call. All of our contact information is on our website, and we can get back to you and help you get started, help get the ball rolling for your program.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. And again, your site is wischoolgardens.org. Is it gardens with an S?
Gardens with an S, that's right. And if you go under our events tab, you can find all the information you need about Wisconsin School Garden Day, which is May 23rd, 1 week from today. We even have an activity guide for programs who want to participate and aren't quite sure what they want to do for indoor and outdoor activities.
So wischoolgardens.org. It's been a real pleasure talking with you both. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, Larry.
Thank you.
Renata Solin is the Communications Director for Wisconsin School Garden Network. Jenica Skaug is the manager of the Goodman Youth Farm, which is run by Community Groundworks and is located about about a 10-minute walk from my house. It's not very far away, that's for sure. So they're doing some wonderful work there, and I certainly urge you to go to their website and take a look at all of the resources they have, because they have a ton of really good information for getting a school garden or a small garden going. And if you're already got your garden going and you've decided you want to get out and look for some wild plants that are already out there, maybe some mushrooms, it's morale season, you know. We'll be talking next about foraging incredible wild edibles. Sam Thayer coming up next on the Ideas Network.